This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
First, there was God. Then He created everything. The heavens. The earth. To everything, life was given. Light. Earth. Began from what was first. He is first.
Are you ready for the final installment, the grand finale of this First Factor series? This First Factor series has been a help and encouragement to me. And I've had many say, man, I had no idea that was a principle of first things in the Bible. And we're gonna finish up with probably the foundation. Maybe we should have started with this one, but I wanted to finish with it because I believe it'll be the one that you'll remember and use throughout your life. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read in verse number 24. For those of you that are incredibly astute and have a really good memory and categorize my sermons and all of that, we have been in Mark 4 before. This last summer, we went to Mark 4 and talked about the parable of the mustard seed. We're going to touch on the parable of the mustard seed today, but I wanted to talk about the beginning of this passage because it gives us this order of faith. And I want you to understand the principle of faith from the standpoint of first things. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 4. We'll talk about the context some after we read in verse number 24 down through verse number 32. And the Word of God says, "And he, Jesus, said unto them, Take heed what ye hear." Everyone say, hear. Last week we talked about listening. We're going to pick up where we left off. It says, "With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." And he said, "So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise, and night and day, and the seed should spring up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after the full corn and ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." Let's pray. God, we come before you. Lord, we come before you knowing that it is by faith that we even understand you. Lord, the essence of who you are is accessed through faith, and the fact that we are speaking to you right now is a demonstration of our faith. Lord, the fact that these, your people, are gathered here today is a demonstration of their faith. And so, Lord, we're wanting to put you first. We're wanting to grow our faith. Lord, by faith, we want to take a huge step forward as a church today. But I pray that you will please help us to listen, to apply what we have learned, and then, Lord, to take this step of faith, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Galilee region is marked by, of course, the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is standing most likely on the shore or in a boat in Galilee. This is the Sea of Galilee, and he was speaking upwards toward the mountain. He's speaking specifically to a smaller group of people. Then the verbs kind of switch halfway through this passage. He went from speaking unto them specifically to speaking to a crowd. We don't know how large the crowd was. We don't know who was in the crowd. We don't know what was happening that day. But on this region, this exact region, it was exactly where Jesus spoke these words. Now we have to understand the context of why he spoke these words. And the context is specifically the fact that he gave this parable of the sower. The seed was sown and some fell on good ground, as we'll talk about later. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell on shallow ground. And all of these different parables, four different parables to understand what type of soil seed grows in. And it's interesting to me that throughout this passage of Scripture, the Lord is speaking specifically in agricultural terms. Many people would understand these terms. They would fully grasp the seed and sower and harvest concept. And so Jesus is speaking to the fact, he's saying, you have faith that when you sow a seed, a harvest will come. So when the word of God, truth, is sown into the hearts of men that are ready to receive it and ready to apply it, a harvest will come, growth will come. The interesting part to me about the agricultural context of this is whenever Jesus spoke of the mustard seed before and after this, he always spoke of it in relation to faith. Because it was the very smallest seed that you could find, and it produced exponential growth. It produced this massive harvest that would come from this one little seed. But he was trying to get them to understand in their terms a measure of faith that has been placed inside all of us. For instance, today you had faith in the car that you drove to here. You had faith that it would get you from point A to point B. Some of you had smaller faith, okay, depending on how old your car is, okay? I don't think anyone probably rode their bike to church, but if you rode a bike, you had faith in the mechanics of that bike. If you stopped by Starbucks or some other establishment to get food, you had faith that they made that with healthy means. By healthy means, now donuts probably not, but the point is that you had faith in certain amount of people. You had faith in your family. You had faith in your alarm system last night, okay, that it would protect you, you know. There's a lot of things we put faith in without even thinking about it. And Jesus was trying to tell these disciples and those around him that a sower has faith that the seed will grow when it is planted. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. I put that verse in your notes because he is not just the beginning of our faith. He is not just the start to our faith, but he is the essence of our faith and the continuer and the grower of our faith. And then he is the finisher. He will be the culmination of our faith. When our faith becomes sight, it will be Jesus himself that will make that happen. And so there are a couple things I want to look at from the standpoint of faith today. And there's a step of faith that I want to describe. And then in the same breath today, in the same study, I want to talk about not just a step of faith, because it's not something that we do to receive faith. It is totally unmerited. So I want to talk about the step of faith, but I want to specifically toward the end I want to talk about the fruit of faith, the result of faith, the outflow. What happens when faith is present? I believe it'll help us today to understand that the final principle of first things is faith. First is faith. When you put something first, you are having faith that everything else that will follow that will fall into place. First takes faith. We said the very first week that first is now because there's an urgency to the kingdom. There's a portion that we must put first, the first portion of our day, first portion of our week, the first portion of our income. It belongs to God. We said that that's the seeking first the kingdom of God. The second week, we talked about the standard. First is key. We said that it's the perspective that we judge everything off of, that God is to be the first perspective, the first comparison. The next week, we talked about the fact that first is last and that the position we must take is behind God, behind others, for everything to work well in life and in relationships. And then the fourth week, we talked about first is best, the fact that our pleasure, our first pleasure should be in pleasing God and seeking His best, invest our best with God. Last week we talked about first is love and how our first passion should be Jesus and how He said the first commandment in the Old Testament and New Testament the same is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. So we understand these first principles, but faith is the foundation because it takes faith to love. It takes faith to invest your best. It takes faith to make God the standard. It takes faith to give them the first portion of anything. It is faith that motivates you, the faith that demonstrates that action. And so I want you to see the first step. The first step of faith is listening. Now, last week we talked about the fact that Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, I want you to hear this. I want you to understand this first principle." But this week he takes it a step further, and I so wanted to talk about this last week. I'm glad I didn't, because this is exactly where we need to be with regards to faith, because he says in verse number 24, he says, "Take heed what ye hear." Can you say that with me? Take heed what ye hear. And when I started studying this, the word take heed is a simple word for see, to carefully look at. Blepo, it's the Greek word blepo. It means to carefully watch. But then the second what ye hear is just the simple word for listening, akouo. It's the Greek word that means to listen to what's happening. You're putting your ear up to hear what's going on. You're following something by listening. And so he says to watch what you're listening. But I immediately thought, well, he's just saying be careful what you're listening to. But upon further examination, I realized that our Savior was saying, I don't want you just to watch what you're listening to. Yes, prioritize the voice that you hear. But he's also saying very clearly by his words of choice, and by the repetition of what he's saying, I want you to see what you're listening by how you're living. I want you to watch your listening happen. I want you to look at it as it's happening. The way to know you're listening is to see how you're living. That's why last Sunday night we talked about faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Something I didn't tell you last week because we didn't have the time was that word of God is not the general word logos. It normally would be. Paul used a very different word, the word rhea. It's a different word. It does not mean just the literal words. It means the personalized words for you. So there's two different words. There's the logos, the word of God. These are words of God for you. You know, I don't want you to hear me today. I didn't prepare this so that you would just hear what I was saying. You know what my passion is for each and every one of you in this room to hear His words for you. I want you to hear from Him. Now, some people say, well, how does that happen? What in the world? How do we know that when God is speaking to us? And if I could just tell you that by faith, when God puts something on your heart, He will do it through your own mind and will and emotions, but God will move your heart in a direction that you wouldn't have naturally moved it yourself. And action proves that you're listening. Action proves you're listening. I want you to see verse number 25 because verse number 24, it's a marvelous verse. I honestly, when we read it this summer, I don't think I fully understood it when he said that with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and under you that here shall more be given. Now, it's interesting to me that he uses that phrase a lot. Measure ye meet, you know, whatever measurement you use, God's going to use for you. He uses it when he's talking about judge not. Remember when we said God's the standard? The measurement you use to judge, he'll use on you. Dr. Siss talked about it a few weeks ago when he talked about, whatever you measure in your, you know, measurement for giving to God, God will use it a measurement to give to you. But God uses this, and this is specifically talking about using a measurement for listening. The amount that you hear and do, what you can measure, he's using these measurement terms again. He's using this akouo, but he's using it with blepo. He's saying the amount of listening that you can see in your life is the amount that I know you have listened to. Don't tell me you have listened. Show me you have listened. And so he says, I will measure unto you. And it's interesting, he says, more will be given. Now, I'm just a curious person. I had to ask myself, more of what? More of what? What? Why? What would he be given more of? Sometimes Jesus spoke in general terms, but this is a very specific quote from Jesus. And so, I scoured the beginning of the passage and said, what was more? More teaching, yes. More truth, the seed represents truth, yes. More understanding, probably all of it. But regardless of what the more stands for, the more will be given to those who do more with what they've heard. And so action proves that we're listening. So the takeaway from this point is to let your life prove you are listening. Let your life prove you're listening. Don't let your words prove you're listening. Don't let your Facebook prove you're listening. Don't let your Instagram. No, let your life. Just let the actions that you have in your life prove you're listening. This is what he was talking about when he said in chapter 4, the same chapter in verse number 8, he says, and other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased. It took action. When the seed of the word of God falls into a ready heart, it takes action. Everyone say action. There's action. Faith is always action. There's not a noun for faith. It's always a verb because it's always in action. The seed is planted and it springs up and it increases and it proves that they're listening. What happens when that happens? Well, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, there will be this yield to the fruit of those who will actually take action. But action doesn't just prove you're listening. Action provides understanding. Now, there are many people who will say, man, I just don't understand that. I don't understand why God would do this. I don't understand why God would do that. I don't understand why God would allow this. I don't understand why God would allow that. I don't understand why God would put up with these types of people or this person or the government or my boss or whatever. And there's a lot of things we don't understand. Is that, can we all get there? I mean, there's a lot of things I don't understand. Right, but when we come to understanding, it's not self-effort that brings more understanding. It's faith, and so we have to understand that action. When we do with what we've already been given, when we act on what we already understand, there is this, as Solomon put it, this way of understanding. In Proverbs 9:6, this way, this pathway of understanding that grows the more we do with what we hear. And so understanding is given for hearers. There's understanding for doers. I'm sorry, not just hearers, but doers. And he says in verse number 25, it's interesting that he puts in perspective what more will be given. He says, "He that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Now, wait a second. I am so confused. That's the most confusing verse in this passage. How can someone get something taken away when they don't have it to begin with? Does that make sense? I mean, I don't understand. God's saying someone who has understanding, someone who does with something with what I've told them to do, then he's going to get more understanding. I get that part. But someone who doesn't have understanding, how can they get understanding taken away from them? And here's what I believe Jesus is saying. I believe he's saying those who think they understand, even the things they think they understand, they won't. The reason we know God does this is throughout his ministry, he started using more and more parables. Why? Matthew 13 says he started using parables mainly because people were hardening their heart. And the more you harden your heart to the truth, the less receptive you are. And the less receptive you are, the more closed off you are to understanding the revelation from your Creator. And God is calling out to every person in this room, and we must make a decision. Will we open our heart? Will we hear? And will we do something with what we hear? Or will we just shove it to the side? And so there's understanding for doers. Thinking and intending are no replacements for doing. There's no substitute for action, for putting your faith to work. I heard about Lulu. Lulu, in a second, we're gonna learn a little bit about Lulu. But Lulu is no normal bomb sniffing dog. Lulu was bred by scientists to be the elite of the elite for bomb sniffing dogs. Not for LASD or LAPD, but for the CIA. I mean, this dog was bred for greatness. This dog was ready to take on the worst of the worst. And he went through many months of training, and this happened. You guys have it?
Just because a dog can sniff out explosives doesn't mean they necessarily want to. Meet Lulu, a black lab who was just fired by the CIA because she wasn't quite cut out for the job. The CIA shared a blog post and said while Lulu could sniff out bombs, the trainers could tell she wasn't enjoying herself. In the blog post, they said, quote, "Our trainers' top concern is the physical and mental well-being of our dogs. So they made the extremely difficult decision to do what's best for Lulu and drop her from the program." For humans, losing a job can be devastating. However, for Lulu, life couldn't be better. Her handler had the option to adopt her, and he did. She now enjoys her days playing with her dog brother Harry and enjoying the stay-at-home life, sniffing out rabbits and squirrels in the backyard.
So here's the rest of the story, because I got a little bit suspicious. Like, okay, yeah, Lulu didn't want to. Lulu wanted to retire. Okay, what's the real story here? When Lulu would come to an explosive, Lulu would make the owner open the explosive. Lulu was not putting, the CIA was not getting Lulu out of danger. The CIA was getting his handler out of danger. Lulu was not ready for the field. Lulu would, when they would say come, Lulu wouldn't come. I watched another video where they literally were trying to bribe Lulu with all of this food, these snacks, these balls. Nothing. Lulu didn't care. Lulu just didn't care what you put in front of her or anything. Lulu just wanted to play. And you know what? We live in a culture of people who aren't willing to listen. And they're putting themselves and others at risk because they are not living the way God intended them to live. And they will not do what God wanted them to do. And so they're sidelined. What they do have is taken away from them because God can't trust someone who's wanting always to do their own will. And so we must understand that if we wait until we understand God's commands completely, that we might be waiting permanently. We might be always waiting if we're just timid back, not wanting to do what we already understand. So understanding is given to doers. It's for doers. But it's not just any doers. This context is it's understanding is given to sowers. So what are they doing? They are sowing. And Jesus says in verse 26, he says that the kingdom of heaven is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring up and grow. And what a great thing that is, that seed springs up and grow. That's how we have food. But I love this next part. He knoweth not how. You know, I read a horticulturist who this week talked about the fact that scientists there's still several phenomenons about why seeds die in the ground and then grow. They still don't understand fully that they understand the process, but they don't understand the reasoning behind it. They don't understand the science behind it. They don't understand that why the seed has to die and then grow, and why the soil has to be perfect for the seed to grow. And it's amazing how God has built that into our universe. But only those who are willing to trust God with their first and their best sow the seeds that God can bless. He's going to bless those seeds that we sow first and in the order that he has given us. In verse number 27, he talks about that order first. That's the word protos. It's the word we've been studying. It's first the blade. It's the first, the little bitty shoot, as we saw in the intro video, the little shoot coming out of the ground. And then the seed turns into the stalk and then the ear and then, of course, the fruit. And only those who are sowing seeds are reaping harvest. See, seeds are not supposed to be seen. Seeds are supposed to be sown. And there's an interesting part of our culture that wants everything to be focused on the outward. Everything to be focused on what people will see. Hey, if someone sees it, I'll pay attention to it. If someone notices it, then I'll do it. If someone's going to recognize me, then I'll serve. If someone is going to give me an award, then I'll give. But Jesus is saying, no, no, no. The seed is not supposed to be seen. It's supposed to be placed in the ground underneath the dirt where no one's going to see it, where it's going to die, where everything is going to happen under the surface. Let me tell you where faith begins. It doesn't begin where any of us see. It begins inside your heart. Right now, inside your heart, there are seeds that God is wanting to place inside your heart. And if you will allow them to grow, and if you will allow them to spring up and to shoot out the harvest that God wants, man, there'll be things in your life that you didn't even know. And the Holy Spirit can grow your joy and your faith and your long-suffering and your gentleness and your peace. And all those fruit of the Spirit will grow when the seed of truth and faith is planted and when it's watered. And so I know you might not be able to see the seed, but I love what Martin Luther King Jr. said. He said, faith is taking the first step. Even when you can't see the whole staircase, it's taking that first step. And Martin Luther King Jr., he didn't see all of the good that would happen from his life. He didn't see all of the dream that he had in his heart, but he placed some truths. He placed some action to something inside of his heart, and God brought a great harvest to that seed. And so we understand this sower sows the seed, and some falls on the stony ground. And the Bible says that the stony ground is the place where the birds come and they can just steal the seed. And then some of the seed falls on the shallow ground and it springs up a little bit, and then the sun, the hot scorching sun, withers it away. Some fall among the thorns, and the thorns and the weeds choke out the growth. And it specifically says the thorns, the birds are like as the wicked one, the deceiver coming to deceive, to steal. The shallow ground is the outside element, the world, the culture, the culture, battering against you every single day. The people at work, the inundated media, the all of the things that are scorching the earth of your Christian growth. And then finally, it says the thorns, the weeds, Those things are the deceitfulness of riches. Wealth and the love of money that's literally choking the spiritual growth right out of your life. Eric, I'm going to ask you to turn down the heat off of blazing hot down to normal temperature. That would be great. It's super cold outside and about 180 degrees inside here, at least from up here. So we understand that understanding is for doers, understanding is for sowers, but I want you to see that understanding is for seekers. It's for seekers. And when Jesus is talking about sowing, he's not specifically talking about agricultural terms in the sense that he wants everyone to go out and plant more trees. And listen, I'm all for trees. I'm all for going green. I'm all for stewarding the planet God's given us. I'm all for that, okay? But even today, I might even believe in global warming. I'm not sure. But the reality is Jesus was not talking about specifically planting literal seeds. He was talking about seeking the truth and seeking the faith that comes from divine revelation. And I think it's interesting that the action that's involved, the sacrifice of the seed dying, is what moves the truth from the mind where the shallow ground can be scorched, the mind where this truth can be stolen away, the mind where the belief can be taken. It moves, this action and sacrifice moves the truth, moves what we hear from our head down to our heart. Some people say, how can I receive God with all of my heart? And it's a matter of placing your faith. You see, faith is what brings the knowledge of who God is from your head to your heart. And so seekers are those who are placing God's grace as a priority by faith. See, God's grace, not effort, yields a harvest in the heart. It's God's grace that yields the effort. Not our own effort. It's his unmerited favor. God's grace is the ability of God to do something great, but our faith in that ability is our responsibility. And it's interesting to me how some people overcomplicate being saved or understanding the truth of salvation. The reality is, when I got saved, God's hand of grace met my hand of faith, and the transaction was completed not based on me or anything good that I have done, but based on Jesus, God's own Son. God's hand of grace, offering the free gift of salvation, met my hand of faith. And in that moment, I was turned from my sin to Jesus. And the moment I turned, listen, it just took a moment. Just took a moment to turn my faith from my own doing to seeking my own way of dealing with my sin, my own guilt, my own shame, my own past, turning from all of that to Jesus and placing my faith in Jesus. That is where salvation begins and where faith brings salvation from the head to the heart. You see, it is by God's grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's a lot of religious boasting going on because we have this sense that, well, if I do a lot of good things, then it'll outweigh the bad things. And the reality is, if you have to do good things to get to heaven, then what Jesus did on the cross wasn't good enough. And so it's the grace of God that we place our faith. And many times the devil will lie to us about the cost of not listening to God and not putting him first. Someone sent me a mansion, a link for a mansion that you can purchase on eBay for about $6.5 million. You can bid on eBay. You know, you can get it better if you bid someone, you know, lower. But the point is, that's the going. If you want to buy it, okay, if you want to buy it right now, it's $6.5 million. But I want you to look underneath of it. The shipping for this mansion is $3.50. Now, I'm no math genius, okay? Sean's here. He's a math whiz. I'm no math genius. But I think that all of those containers, the prefab, you know, containers with that mansion inside, I'm thinking it's going to cost a little more than $3.50 for shipping. You know, we look at this and we say, oh, it's probably a scam. You know, you probably pay $6 million and, you know, there's all of these hidden costs. Or who knows? But my point is this, that the devil lies to a lot of us on what can fulfill us. The devil lies to a lot of us on what will bring us satisfaction. The devil lies on how much it will cost to do your own thing. And see, faith is saying, God, I'm going to do your way first and allow you to bring the harvest. You see, we try to bring the harvest on our own. We try to bring the harvest before it's ready. We try to bring good things that aren't bad things. I mean, they're good things, but we try to get them before they are meant for us to have them. And many times we do all we can to manipulate and to push and to get ourselves in a position where we can have favor. And instead of just saying, God, I'm going to live your way. There was a way you designed our universe. And Ecclesiastes 3. 2 says that there's a time to plant and there's a time to pluck. And all of my life, I'm going to struggle with plucking before I've planted. All of my life, I'm going to live knowing that I'll have the tendency of trying to get in front of God instead of putting, by faith, Him first. And so the takeaway is that we must seek to understand our Savior more than our circumstances. I want to understand my circumstances because I want to know how I can manipulate them. I want to know how I can change them. I want to know how I can better them. But the reality is I can't change my circumstances better than God can change my circumstances. So I must seek to understand who He is, seek to understand how He wants to move, and by faith seek Him even when my circumstances aren't desirable. And so we must understand that This listening to the heart of God, listening to the voice of God, listening to His truth. And by listening, we don't just mean hearing and then walking out these doors and forgetting. Hearing and then doing. Watch what we're listening. So the first step of faith is listening. But then I want you to see not a step, but a fruit. A result, the fruit, the first fruit of faith is giving. Now, it's interesting to me that our Lord and Savior talks about the harvest. And it says that in verse number, I believe it's in verse number 28, it says that when, not if, but when the fruit comes, when the fruit is brought forth, then He brings the sickle and He harvests it. Now, I have to tell you that this reference right here, and I studied a lot of different people who talked about this reference, many believe that Jesus was making reference to the first fruit harvest that takes place during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so what happened in the Old Testament is they would come, they would get some fruit, they would take the first portion of each tree, the first portion of every harvest, whether it be barley or wheat or whatever, they would take the first portion, it was 10%, that's why it's called a tithe, they would take the first portion of that and they would bring it to the priest, and they had this whole ritual down on how they would present it to him, and it was a first fruits offering unto the Lord. And it was by faith giving this offering that God would bring the rest of the harvest so that they would have enough to live. They would give the first fruit before the rest of the crop was even finished harvesting. They would give the first fruit before the rest of the harvest was brought into the storehouse, before they knew how much they had, before they counted the rest, they would give the first. And so the fruit of faith, the fruit of truly listening and truly obeying and truly understanding that God has your best interest in mind is by giving. Many people won't give time to God because they already don't have enough time to give to all the things that are calling for their attention. So they just say, well, God, I'm sorry, I don't have the time. If I had the time, I would. But God says, no, you give me the time first and watch me rearrange your schedule. And many people won't give to God financially, and it's because that they say, well, I don't have enough money for all that I need. And so, but God says, just give to me first. And so it's by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance. It's the epistasis is the word. It's the assurance, the confidence of the things that are hoped for. Every farmer hopes for a harvest. But the seed that's planted, when it grows, he doesn't wait for the harvest. He doesn't focus on what he hoped for. He focuses on the substance. The substance that he has right now is what he gives to God. God doesn't want what you have in the future. He wants what you have right now. God just wants your time, your energy, your effort right now. He just wants the first portion. And so I want you to notice, how does this work? How does the fruit of giving work? The fruit of faith is giving. How does that work, and how did God mean for it to work? I want you to see letter A, the assurance of a harvest. The assurance of a harvest. Now, in verse number 29, it says, when the fruit is brought forth, and immediately he putteth the sickle, and because the harvest is come. He's talking about this harvest that has come from the seed that was planted. It was not brought forth of his own effort. It was not something that he gave. And by the way, your goods, your time, your energy, your ability, that is not brought forth of you. It's brought forth of God. The fact that you have the skills that you have, that you're paid for at work, that's given to you by God. The fact that you have a body that can function and move, that was given to you by God. The fact that you can breathe, that's given to you by God. The fact that you have funds to live off of, that's given to you by God. So everything is from God. And we understand that this analogy of the harvest is an analogy of what meant something, what was of value. And that's why Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A farmer's heart is with the harvest, because without the harvest, he can't continue to be a farmer. The farmer depends on the harvest. But what Jesus is saying, don't just depend on the harvest. Understand who gives the harvest. I am the giver of the harvest. And so we understand that he was referencing this first fruits. Now, the first fruits was talked about in, I gave you a few verses. I'm not going to quote all of them, but it says, do not delay to make thy first fruits the offer of first of thy ripe fruits. Deuteronomy 26 says, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given. And Malachi said, thou hath robbed me. And Malachi said, well, how have we robbed you? He said, with tithes and offerings. And he says, if you bring to me your first offering, when you bring to me the first portion, I will pour out a blessing that you won't even be able to handle. And so the blessings of God always follow faith. The harvest always follows listening and faith. We cannot have a harvest. We cannot have a blessing without first having faith. So I'm going to ask some guys to come up. We're basically done, but I want to illustrate the end of this by showing you. And again, I want to use the simplest of terms, because many people say, you know, I don't understand this concept of faith and a harvest and understanding how can the first fruits happen. And so I want these guys to bring these tables up here, and I'm actually going to bring up a little piece of my childhood. How many of you remember when toys were actually made of things that would last more than a few months? Okay. When I was 3 or 4 years old, I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and my parents bought me a Tonka truck, but a set of Tonka trucks. And this is one of them. This is yours truly. Okay. Here's a metal. Okay, not plastic. This thing was made to last, okay? That's why it's here today. And we've passed it on to Chandler, and he doesn't even know he has it. But, you know, he'll figure it out one day, maybe. But it's interesting to me that he talks about the harvest in relation to a mustard seed. Because mustard seeds, I mean, it was a form of currency. It was something that they would use to barter. To be honest with you, it was the closest thing that many of the common people had to money. Now, they did have coins in the Roman government, but before the Romans came, I mean, they would barter with spices, barter with these seeds. So this was definitely something that was tied to who they were. And so he takes this picture of this little mustard seed. I think we have a picture of a hand holding a mustard seed. I mean, it is so tiny, so little. And he says, you know, if you have a mustard seed and you think it's small and you plant it, you know, there's something that will come from that mustard seed, not because you brought it, but because I brought it. And he said, I want to show you that when you first plant and then wait, first plant and then spin, first give and then go your way. He said, I want you to see how exponentially blessed you can be. And so my parents from a very young age taught me what it means to place the first fruits at God's table. And, you know, my parents were religious about this. I mean, literally, we had an apple tree in our backyard. They would give the first portion. My dad was a pastor. I mean, how? I still to this day, I mean, wow, they took this thing to the nth degree. I mean, they would give the first part of the apples. I remember someone a few months ago, they had a ton of grapes in their backyard, and they gave some of the grapes to the church. They wanted to give the first fruit. And I said, well, be careful next year. I mean, they're going to have grapes everywhere. But the point is, so he's using this analogy of fruit. And in our life, we have needs. We have things we have to do. And it takes time and energy and effort. And there's certain energy to get up in the morning, okay? And we can't go far, and we have these, the point A and point B. We have to. And you say, God, I have to get to work. I mean, I have to provide for my family. I'm worse than an infidel, the Bible says, if you don't take care of your family. So you have these needs. You have the energy to get up in the morning. You have, you know, needs like bills, and you have, you know, you have a house payment. You have utilities. You have, and all these things. You have a car. Health and things you have to steward. And so we have all of these things, and all of these apples can represent something that keeps life moving. We have to have these things, but many of us just spend all the apples that God has given us, and as we go, it keeps us moving. Okay, we spend all of the fruit, the harvest, everything God gives to us, we spend, and so we successfully get from point A to point B using 100%, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, using all 10 of these apples, all of our resources it takes to get from point A to point B. So someone looks at the first fruits and says, how in the world am I supposed to get from point A to point B without one of these? Because the reality is it takes all, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have, you know, an abundance of these resources. I don't have a money tree in my backyard, as my mom used to say. My point is you don't have limitless resources, so you have to take 100% of what you have to get from point A to point B. But in the Bible, this is known as low trust. Because here's what we do. We deceive ourselves in thinking that all 10 of these are apples. Because one of these is not an apple. The very first one isn't an apple. What if the very first one is an orange? What if the very first thing was never meant for us at all? And what if we're operating with our 100% and 10% of it is not ours to begin with? What if the first fruit is not our fruit at all? What if by faith God meant for us to have that first fruit so that we would trust Him, so that we would know what it means to have faith in Him? And I submit to you today that God gave goods and money for one reason, and that was to see if He could have your heart. Goods and money have always been God's number one competition for your heart. And so this is so important, not because the church wants it, not because people need it, not because God even needs it. This is important because it shows where your heart is. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, but letter B, it's the evidence. The evidence of a blessing. The evidence of a blessing is when God gets his part and is not even yours to begin with. It shouldn't even be labeled as such. Your 90%, in air quotes, okay? Your 90% with not low trust, but when you have 90% and full trust, here's what happens. God then takes the 90% and he starts lengthening it and adding to it, and he will not only bring you with 90% from A to B, but friend, he, and I've watched this happen, he will take you to point C without you even realizing it, because he has added to what you already have. But God loves you too much to add to what you won't even give to him. So if we don't give to God what is rightfully his, and friend, we could be here all day with verses talking about how the first part is his. So people lie to themselves and say, yeah, churches need money somehow. I mean, you're listening to a guy who doesn't get a bonus for saying that God's is the orange. I don't get a bonus. I mean, I don't take a salary. I'm on mission support. I mean, the point is, here's the point. This is not about me and you. This is about you and God. This is about God getting his first part and everything else. You know what's interesting? When God adds to you, when God adds to your basket, guess whose apples are bigger? God's are. God will always add more to you than you could ever imagine. You know what? When we get to heaven, if we could interview Billy Graham, you know what I think he would tell you? I think he'd tell you a story about Tory Johnson calling him one day and saying, I want you to speak at a school. The school refused to have you. And I said, I'm going to call the administrator if you don't let him speak to the school. This was back when public schools used to have chapels. Come a long way. So Youth for Christ, Tory Johnson, had this young kid, a young 19-year-old intern named Billy Graham. He comes and speaks. You know what happens? Nothing happens. It was the first time Billy Graham ever spoke anywhere. He shows up to the school. Kids are laughing. People are throwing stuff at him. He said it was an ultimate failure. But Tory asked him, he said, you know, well, was there one person interested? He said, yeah, there was one. This really dorky kid. He said, what was his name, Billy? He said, well, if I remember right, his name was Warren Wiersbe. Warren Wiersbe is one of my favorite authors, I mean, used by God in such a great way. Billy Graham. A CNN reporter said this last week that he spoke to more humans than any other human on the planet in person. I mean, this man was greatly used by God. Here you have a public school and just a small seed of hope planted by Tory Johnson. Probably very few in this room have ever even heard of the name Tory Johnson. And an intern. And two men who shook their world for Christ. And you don't tell me that one little seed, one little dollar, one little time spent investing into the kingdom, does it matter? Yeah, it matters. And it doesn't matter because it's something that you and I can do. It matters because with grace, God enables it to go so much farther. Friend, if you're here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, man, I'd encourage you to do that. Some people say it sounds so simple. It is. It's putting Him first for your eternity. It's so simple, but it's so important. If you're here today and you're like, man, I don't know about this whole investing with God thing, and I would just encourage you, man, what do you have to lose? God promises to pour out a blessing so big you can hardly handle it. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. We hold back, God holds back. We pour out, God pours out. And here's the truth. You can't outgive God. And so the takeaway from this point is the reality that we must, as a church, rather than playing it safe, we must step out by faith. It takes faith. So the evidence of a harvest is the blessing, the fact that we've given faith. And in faith, God says, I see your faith and I will bless you. And all the blessings may not be on this earth, but I guarantee you, God will bless you. You place faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, God will bless you with eternal life. God promises salvation. You place your faith in Jesus Christ for anything else in the Christian life, God will bless you. He will bring a harvest to those who are willing to not play it safe, but live by faith.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.